From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
We kick off the second hour of this week's Civic Media Spotlight by heading to the Todd Alba Show, where Todd was joined by friends of the show, Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen, to discuss some breaking news and give political updates from the week.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Sommers on the board. I had a burp. I had a breath and a burp all at the same time. Sorry about that. Always great, Mr. Sommers, to have Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen on the show. There's a certain energy on Wednesdays that I just love.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad that we got to have Pat on a little bit extra today.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we were waiting for Pat to join up, Todd did not yet know that he had. And he said, we got to ask Pat when he gets here if he wants to stay till 12:30. And then Pat, yes! So he was very enthusiastic.
Yes, it was like a genie just popping out of a bottle. Great to have both those guys along. They're here every Wednesday from noon until 1. Coming up in a moment, your chance to win some great prizes. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first of all, I want to let you know what's coming up on the show this hour. We're going to tell you what a World Cup soccer star, or as they say every place else, football. It's not soccer, it's football. I will tell you what a football player has to do with mega Republicans. I'll explain that in just a minute. And some, acronyms as well. Speaking of acronyms, we were talking about Scott Walker and Donald Trump the last hour, Trigvi and Pat. And one of the things we're talking about that mega Republicans, Donald Trump going after people who don't really, in their opinion, are no longer Republicans. They call them rhinos, Republicans in name only, call them rhinos. So here now, a guy on Twitter, Melvin Edwards, I have no idea who he is. I just want to give him credit. This was not my original, so I don't like to plagiarize. So Melvin Edwards tweeted this about Donald Trump and his money woes this week. He said, Donald Trump is a bino. You know what a bino stands for?
Billionaire in name only.
Bingo! Nicely done, Mr. Sommers. Wow. Ring the bell. That's right. A bino. Donald Trump is a billionaire in name only. A bino. That's very good. Going to talk about more of that in a minute. We were talking about former Governor Scott Walker in the last segment. The fact that he's going after Tammy Baldwin on Twitter, on X, and trying to, I guess, make fun of her because she's human. And, you know, none of us look the way we did 30 years ago, and posting two pictures of her and trying to make it look unflattering of her, which I just think is mean and small and third grade. And I pointed out in my response to the former governor, maybe he's just jealous because Senator Baldwin has a full head of natural hair. And of course, our former governor, like myself, has male pattern baldness, which he does not want to admit. He tells people it's a scar that he hit his head on a cabinet while fixing a cabinet in the governor's mansion.
A brutal cabinet attack.
Right. Now, let me tell you, my former boss, Dale Schultz, sat on, there's a committee called SCURB. That's the acronym, SCURB. It stands for State Capitol and Executive Residence Board, because the governor's mansion is the common parlance, but they call it the executive residence. So it's SCURB. My boss sat on that. And I can tell you for a fact that governors do not fix their own cabinets at the executive residence. There is a large team that takes care of whomever the governor happens to be. So this is just goofy, right? This is just goofy. So now on the phone line, 855-752-4842, I understand Dave in Madison listening in on WMDX here in Madison. Thanks for holding through the news, Dave. I understand you have some thoughts and feelings on male pattern baldness.
Well, you understand right, because the record reflects that you have perpetrated the atrocity of disparaging baldness. Well, you know, as Homo sapiens, as humans lose more and more hair, as we become more and more evolved humans, we lose more and more hair. So, of course, you can infer from that that guys like you and me that are bald are an evolutionary step above the rest. Secondly,
I'm not sure about that, but go ahead. Speak for yourself, but go ahead.
Anyway, secondly, I heard a Wall Street Journal analysis of Donald Trump's wealth. Apparently, it's about $3 billion, but he doesn't have sufficient amount of liquidity to buy a bond. And I just thought I'd interject that. Thirdly, thanks for your show. It's great.
Oh, only great because
very
of people like you. Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you for the kind words. Really appreciate that. It goes to our whole staff. I mean, it's not just me. It's Mr. Zomers. It's all the engineers, the producers. I mean, Chris Pauls, all that, all the folks behind the scenes that are on the microphone every day. They're the ones that really make this show go. So all the credit goes to them. I appreciate that, Dave. Tony Zimmerman off the YouTube says, as a balding man, I concur. So there you go. What are your feelings, I guess, on male pattern baldness? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Should a guy like Scott Walker, who's, and here's the thing, if you're watching on the stream, I mean, I can take my headphones off. Look, I mean, I'm not trying to cover anything up. I don't do a comb over. I keep my hair pretty short. You know, it is what it is. You know, I'm not going to wear a toupee. I'm not going to paint my head. I mean, it's just life, right? It is what it is.
It's just how it goes.
Scotty Walker, the former governor, he grows it long and he fluffs it up in front so that the camera, so when he's on camera, you can't really tell it. But then right behind the fluff, the big feather in the front, then you can see all the baldness behind.
And you know what?
Yeah.
That's totally okay.
It's fine. But this is the thing, you understand. This is the thing that I think that belies Scott Walker is that he's a fake, right? He doesn't, it's all a facade. And it's just for show. And I think his hair, how he looks at himself and his hair and being so vain about it, you know, authentic people like Trigvy, other people, you know, I mean, we just embrace it. Be authentic. Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor on Facebook, says, I have the worst toupee in radio.
I don't know if that says a lot or not very much because
yeah, sure.
I feel like in radio, you probably care less
right.
because, you know, aside from if you're doing a live stream like we are, people just don't see you.
Coming up in a minute, Republican Party MAGA, what it has to do with a major soccer star. But first, time once again for Ride Into Spring.
Moving right along in search of good times and good news. With good friends you can't lose.
This could become a habit.
That's right. Time once again for our Ride Into Spring contest here at Civic Media. And before we go any further, the lawyer team here at Civic Media, our corporate counsel, our legal team, it is very important that we tell you this is a text to win statewide contest. Some people might think it's just in the city of Madison or Milwaukee or Waukesha. Not a regional contest, not a district contest. It is a statewide contest. The legal beagle's very concerned about this. So we have to make sure to let you know it's a statewide contest. That might be my favorite part of this whole thing that we have to do every day. But this is a great contest, you understand, because it's spring. Officially now, spring is in the air, although we might get some snow tonight into tomorrow. But spring is in the air. Look at I saw my first robin today, by the way, Mr. Zomers.
Not Voss.
Not Voss.
Good.
I haven't seen Robin Voss in a while.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. I saw my first bird, robin, today. My mom saw one in Richland Center like a month ago. So I'm not sure what's happening in Madison. But anyway, so spring is in the air. And what do people like to do in the spring? They like to travel. You understand? We've been cooped up in the house too long and like to travel. Well, here's your chance to win a getaway, all exclusive paid getaway to Chula Vista. Here in Wisconsin Dells, right in the middle part of the state. It's a great place. I've been there. I've stayed there. Great facilities. Indoor water park. They have a golf course there. Great staff at Chula Vista. So you could win that. And then there are subsequent prizes beyond the grand prize. You could win a bike. Who doesn't want to go out and bike in the spring? And then a patio love seat, outdoor love, patio furniture, a love seat. That's fantastic. And perhaps my favorite prize in the whole thing, you could win a three-way blender.
A 3-in-1 blender.
I'm sorry, a 3-in-1. A 3-in-1 blender. A 3-in-1 blender. And but who doesn't love a good 3-in-1 blender? You know, sometimes just, you know, get together with other people. You don't know what's going to happen. Just mix drinks. So,
you know, I could use a new blender. Mine's kind of starting to give up, but
really?
I cannot win this contest because it turns out I can see all of the words. Right. And so that is cheating.
So here's how you are eligible. Right now, go to your phone. And if you don't, if you have not already, download the Civic Media app. Go to your app store, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic. Download the app. And then you're going to open it, and there's a list of all the lovely Civic Media stations across Wisconsin. Find your station or the one that you like. It could be WRCE in Richland Center, News from the Center. It could be Mad Radio from Madison. It could be WAUK, the Shaw, in Waukesha. All the fine. Just pick one of the stations. Just click on your station. It'll open up, and then right above the red play button, there will be a text button. And you have to text us on your phone via the Civic Media app to be eligible. So, the word this hour, the 1 o'clock hour word in the Civic Media Ride into Spring giveaway, text us the word golf. The word is golf. G-O-L-F as in Frank. G-O-L-F as in Frank. Golf. Text us golf to the Civic Media app right now, and you will be eligible, put into the contest for the Ride into Spring giveaway. The word is golf this hour. Now, you can text us once an hour, so you can do it multiple times a day, but only once an hour.
Yes, so the next one
I'm not as young as I used to be, so I can't go multiple times a day, but you can text multiple times a day, understand? And you're eligible to win, and it's fantastic. Yeah,
there'll be four every day. Yeah. Well, this is going on this week and next.
And next opportunity to win during the great Maggie Dawn show in the 3 o'clock hour. Maggie will have yet another word for you to text in. So text right now on the Civic Media app on your station. Find your station and find the text button and type in golf, G-O-L-F, and send it to us. Golf is the word this hour. Come back and talk about Republicans, soccer, and what it has to do with acronyms. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Moving right along.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. To find the full-length content for everything you hear during Civic Media Spotlight, be sure to head over to the Civic Media website and check out all of the show's podcast page. Head to civicmedia.us/shows. We now head to the Earl Ingram Show, where Earl had a conversation this week about the nation's mismatching priorities when you compare how much money is going to be spent on this year's presidential cycle, along with how much money it would cost to end hunger in the nation.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I asked a question before we went to break. How much would it cost a year to rid our nation of hunger? And that number, according to Joel Berg, the CEO of Hunger Free America, has calculated the cost of ending hunger in the United States at $25 billion. Now, that sounds like a lot of money. $25 billion to make sure that no American is ever hungry year to year. Sounds like a lot of money. Until you put it up against the fact that the presidential election of 2024 is projected to cost $1 billion. I mean, something is seriously wrong in a nation that understands that there are American citizens who are hungry, children, the elderly, who are hungry, who don't get a chance to eat three square meals a day in the wealthiest nation on earth. And yet, you know, we complain about food stamps. We don't want to give people food stamps. They're getting something for nothing. But we're willing to spend $1 billion on a presidential election. 844-967-2789. I don't know how we cannot think that there's something, you know, wrong, seriously wrong, with that kind of information, and why we shouldn't all be outraged. $1 billion for a presidential election. Listen to Joe Berg. It's not my words. These are Joe Berg's words. Hunger in the United States isn't a direct result of war or crop failures or massive inflation. Americans who are hungry simply don't have enough money to buy food, Berg says. A combination of increased wages and improved safety net programs would be needed. So, President Biden has made an attempt to create social programs that will open the door, safety net programs, to help make sure that all Americans are fed. And there are people standing in the way and arguing in opposition to that. Oh, no, 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 no. We can't feed people. And people should be able to feed themselves. This is America. And, you know, I'm able to feed my family. And so we've got to stop handing out things to people. People actually are people in this nation who actually have that kind of predisposition. And don't want to offer assistance and help. 48 million Americans don't get enough to eat every day. 48 million Americans. Not my words. And yet we have people who don't want to support their fellow countrymen. They would prefer that they starve. Well, it's America, and they should be able to make it. You know, America's for the hardy. What are you talking about, man? They're going to spend $100 billion. Excuse me, $10 billion. $10 billion on, no, excuse me, $1 billion. $1 billion on the 2024 presidential election. $10.2 billion will be spent on advertising, including everything from broadcast TV, cable, TV, radio, and social media. Again, $25 billion to pay and make sure that every American citizen gets a chance to eat three square meals a day, $25 billion. But they're going to spend $10.2 billion on broadcast TV, cable, radio, and advertising for the presidential election, not to mention $1 billion itself spent on the elections. 844-967-2789. Maybe you don't see that as an issue. You know, you haven't given it any thought. But I'm bringing it to you now. Do you have a thought on that? Does it make any sense? You know, I get it. Oh, it's election time. It's all around us. And so hungry people we don't see. We don't get to see much. But I do. Where I live, I see a lot of hungry people. There are people hungry in urban areas. There are people hungry in rural areas. And yet we, for whatever reason, cannot bring ourselves, as Tom always says, we the people, out of government. If we see that our government is doing the wrong thing, and we as American citizens can't organize enough or bring pressure on our government to make sure we feed the American people. You know, I mean, I'm not one of those people. So, you know, I'm not worried about whether or not there's going to be 3 square meals in my home. I'm able and blessed enough to be able to provide that. But many people aren't. And when you can throw away money the way it's being thrown away now, when you're talking about the amount of money that's being spent on political elections, come on. Wouldn't we be much better served to use that money to make sure, as Dr. King said, I know where the best place to spend that money or to put that food that's stored in warehouses that goes bad in the wrinkled stomachs of children all over the world? Come on. That's ridiculous. Should be outraged. I'm going to continue, this morning on my rant about, you know, what is wrong, what is going on inside of this nation that should be exposed. And, you know, we're going to come back. And maybe you didn't know it, but troops are on the ground. United States troops are on the ground in Taiwan. We'll talk about that on the other side. Up next, news, weather, and sports.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. We now head to Matinair On Air, where Jane and Greg were joined by Civic Media's Maggie Dawn to discuss the mandate for leadership, the conservative promise, which was put out by the Heritage Foundation, talking about their priorities for 2025.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair On Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the show, call or text 855-75. Civic 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon has ruined. Very excited to have our next guest with us, our friend and colleague, host of the Maggie Dawn Show across the network from 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie Dawn is here. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Jane. Hey, Greg. I love that my lead-in song is Chris Stapleton singing about his dog named Maggie, which is how I tell everybody to remember my name. Like, seriously? If you have a dog that's very loyal and female, imagine that, and then the name Maggie will pop in your head.
I knew all of that. I took it in. I just made it work, and Chris and I got together, and we wrote this song for...
Just for you.
It's a damn good song.
Yes, it is. He's a fine, fine human.
I heard you on your show a couple of weeks ago talking about this mandate for America.
Yeah.
And much like Project 2025 that we were talking about in the first hour with Joseph Pecky, this is something I think a vast majority of people are unaware of, and it's critically important that we familiarize ourselves with this, because this is a blueprint for what another Trump administration would be. Right, Maggie?
Yeah, it's so Project 2025 as concept includes basically a few of these different plans. This is the particular one from the Heritage Foundation, entitled, quote, Mandate for Leadership, the Conservative Promise. It's 887 pages.
Wow.
And it is deep wonk.
So it's
not, it is deep wonk.
It's tough to read.
Yeah. So I educated myself basically by reading a New York Times deep dive article written by Carlos Lozada, published on February 29th. And then I went to the document itself and like verified a few things that he was saying.
Sure.
And read some of the context around some of the quotes that he pulled out. But it, in large form, it is a blueprint for how to effectively expand executive branch authority beyond anything that we've heard of before, and basically subject everything within our regulatory structure, our rulemaking structure, our law enforcement apparatus to political litmus testing. That is what they're talking about. It's the effective elimination of federal civil service, which for those of you who aren't sort of wonky about these things,
right,
most people who work in government aren't political appointees. They are technical experts or skills folks who many of whom spend the large majority of their career, and they're protected in effect by civil service rules, which basically means you cannot be fired simply because you do not politically align with whomever's in control. So it requires basically for cause firing. You have to be incompetent, not show up, not work your full load, whatever it is.
That seems reasonable.
Yes. And it exists in government, basically at all levels, local, state, and federal, in a response to basically like Tammany Hall and the great, incredible corruption scandals that we, Teapot Dome, et cetera, where cronies and the political elites and favorites were put into places of power to effectively simply help execute whatever the donor class, the rich, think Rockefellers and Vanderbilts, and the politicians that they had handpicked.
Yep.
If you weren't willing to do their bidding, which would increase their power and wealth, you were removed from your job. And that's not good governance. And what this lays out, and it's ironic to me that it's coming from the Heritage Foundation, because, you know, traditional conservatism is, yes, less government. It's not corrupt government that just serves the whims of the individual who happens to be the chief executive and those that donated to his legal fund to defend him and the many criminal counts against him, or to simply donate to his campaign and have direct access. That's not representative democracy any longer.
Well, and you talked about, again, when we talk about people who are in civil service, a lot of these people have years and years of institutional knowledge.
Correct.
Of how things work, of what is legal, what is not legal, yep, what is the correct, you know, what are the correct channels to go through for this particular position. Just imagine.
It's basically, they basically say, we if people are not willing to put those objective, evidence-based, experience-based ideas through the political lens to serve the elected president, they should be removed from their positions.
So they want a loyalty pledge.
They do. This is 887 pages of, we believe we should be able to politically litmus test everyone that works in federal government. They don't say it that way because that would sound really scary.
Sure.
Right. But like when you decode all of the mumbo jumbo and the techno speak in here, that's basically what it is. They talk about the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and they talk about other science-based arms of the government. And they basically say that the research should fit the political position.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, conclusion first, then back into the research.
Okay, so climate change is a hoax. That's what I want you to prove. Now go backwards.
Correct. So the EPA, for example, for those that perform the agency's research, which is massive, that's a huge part of what the EPA does.
Well, sure.
This document from the Heritage Foundation says that the qualifications, so what we should hire for, is not personal scientific output. In other words, not someone's robust peer-reviewed prior research credentials, but rather, quote, managerial skills. And though, and the research agenda has to be paired and needs to show explicit findings that yield whether, you know, basically these predetermined
outcomes,
political agenda items, not help inform policy with objective research-based data.
It's well, you're cooking the research.
Correct.
You're going to cook the research in order to get the result that you want. This should scare people.
Yeah, here's a quote. Any research conducted with taxpayer dollars serves the national interest in a concrete way in line with conservative principles.
So you can only use conservative science?
As if there was such a thing.
I know. What does that even mean?
I don't know, Jane. Everything that I read in this article, I kept turning the page and getting more and more afraid. Because, again, it has this patina of reasonableness. As if there is something called conservative science. There's not, right? They attack longtime career civil servants. They call holdovers with suspect loyalties lacking moral legitimacy. That's a quote.
What is moral legitimacy?
That you
they
agree.
They can define that.
Right? That's exactly right, Greg. They define who is morally legitimate.
And that is directly tied to your loyalty to the commander-in-chief.
Yep.
Just
one other bit. Sorry, Greg.
The book
calls for the reinstatement of Schedule F, a Trump-era executive order that would allow the president and political appointees to convert many career civil service positions into appointed roles, thus making those people easier to dismiss and replace with loyalists. In a memorable euphemism, the book refers to this effort as, quote, identifying programmatic political workforce needs. That's what I'm talking about, like programmatic political workforce needs? No, you're litmus testing people in what should be objective areas of the executive branch of government.
Just say we want to hire a bunch of lackeys.
Yeah.
Who are going to do everything we want and give us the results that we want. And if
the science that we want.
And the science that we want. And unfortunately, if you think that this is only going to be limited to climate science, you're crazy.
So
think about what this would mean for public health. If there's another pandemic, if there's another virus, something else breaks out that we're not expecting, and they are given the mandate to determine it's not a big threat.
If you think women, just like men, should have access to healthcare and determine what healthcare is most appropriate for them, that would not exist. Because the government should, quote, maintain a biblically based social science reinforced definition of marriage and family. Strong political leadership is needed to increase efficiency and align the Census Bureau's mission with conservative principles. I'm sorry, the Census Bureau is supposed to count people in the country. That needs to be subjective to political ideology.
Well, then, so I said, again, essentially it's we want you to lie. We want you to make up the numbers that we want so we can allocate more federal dollars to these areas that we want, essentially.
Yeah, the Department of Health and Human Service Division should now become known as the Department of Life.
What?
To enact the most robust protections for the unborn that Congress will support.
So, really quick, I just want to say something to, we've been getting some text messages that have been denying what we're talking about here. Maggie is currently reading verbatim from the text. This is not misinformation. This is not us making anything up. This is word for word coming from the document that the former president and his army of sycophants have put out.
This is the Heritage Foundation.
Yeah, the Koch brothers.
Right. And just on this Department of Life point, their concern about life is, of course, selective, because later in the document, they call for, quote, finality in dealing with those people that are on death row. So the government can kill those on death row, but the Department of Health and Human Services should be the Department of Life. And, you know, government should, quote, maintain a biblically based social science reinforced definition of marriage and family. Note the use of the term, not just biblically based, as if government should be biblically oriented,
yeah,
but social science, not science, social science.
Maggie Dawn is our guest. She will be here when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is
We got time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you gave me a 30 seconds.
I gave you three.
Oh, that would be three
minutes. We got minutes.
Yeah.
Three.
We now got two and a half.
Jay, you just made me feel so much better because I sometimes misread Anya's hand signals, not because she's not giving them to me correctly, but because I'm doing five things at once, like in my head, formulating question and commentating. Right. So someone of your August experience and credentials makes me feel so much better when I sometimes read the hands wrong.
That's so much better than saying, because you're so old and you've been doing this so long.
No. I'll take August.
Jane, August of knowledge. Yes. And.
But here's, you know, Trump's talking point when it comes to his criminal charges is that this is weaponized Department of Justice. Well, guess what? The Heritage Foundation says, no, we should just do that. It should be for our side, though.
Yeah, just
if
our
it's
side.
Us.
Yeah, it's fine.
Fine. The Justice Department and the White House counsel should act as a team, end quote.
Wait a minute.
Now, just in case you've never gone into the weeds on this stuff, there has always been a bright line between White House counsel, who is advising the executive office of the president and the individual that holds the presidency in basically a personal capacity as president.
Right.
It has political overtones as well. There is a bright line, a huge wall between White House counsel and the Department of Justice because the political branch of government should not be telling law enforcement who to investigate and who to prosecute.
Yep.
The Heritage Foundation writing it down in Mandate for Leadership, the conservative promise, writing it down that the White House counsel and the DOJ should, quote, act as a team.
That's terrifying. All right, Maggie Dawn will still be here when we return. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
We end this week's edition of Civic Media Spotlight with a nightcap from Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back to Nightlight. So fun to have you with me on a Thursday. Great to talk to Vince Marano. Hey, let's get to our next guest. This is an evening of comedy, folks. I've got more comedians on the show than I know what to do with. But as a fellow comic, I'm thrilled to talk to all of them. So we started with Vince. Jeff Cohn will be along shortly, a fellow Marinette native. Very excited to talk to him. But right now, we're going to talk to another comedian who also owns his own comedy club in Sturgeon Bay called the Firehouse Comedy Club. His name is Asher Brooks, and he joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Asher.
Afternoon, evening, whatever time it is where you happen to be. My wife just left for Georgia, so my timelines are all messed up.
Oh, is it always daylight now when your wife is out of town? Is that what you're saying?
No. Just it's on a different time zone. She and I moved up here a while back.
Oh.
And so I just talking with her a little bit ago, and she was like, yeah, it's still going pretty good on the road. So she's traveling in time.
So what brought you? Okay. You said Georgia?
Yeah. Yeah. I lived in Georgia, grew up there. In fact, didn't move up until right after the pandemic ended, about 2022, tail end of 2021.
So did this comedy club, is that the reason you ended up here, or did you move here for other reasons and just decided to start up the comedy club?
So, I was a professional actor for many years. I went to college to become a professional actor,
nice.
Did a couple of good shows, was kind of having a career with it. And then the pandemic happened, and me and all my actor friends were all fun employed together. So once the pandemic ended, my wife and I had gotten engaged, and I was looking for something a little bit more stable. So I got a job working with Door County Trolley, which is a really large business up here in Door County. Yeah, they brought me up here. They were kind enough to take a chance on me, and I moved up here and kind of fell in love with the small town feel. I lived in quite a big city beforehand.
All right, so you're an actor. That's a great city to live in. Outside of LA and New York, maybe Chicago, Atlanta is a really hot city for acting. How are you adjusting to Northeast Wisconsin? You say you like Door County, you like your gig. Is there enough to keep you busy here acting-wise?
Acting is something I went to college for because my parents insisted I get a college degree. Okay. Stand-up comedy is not something you can get a college degree in. I did pitch clown school to my parents. They were not enthused about that. So I got the next best thing, which was a theater degree, but I always knew I wanted to go into stand-up. I just kind of tripped, honestly, into like doing musical theater. I did musical theater for about 2 years doing shows on and off just because I had done a lot of church choirs when I was a kid. And so they're like, you have pipes. You look vaguely evil. We'll put you in a couple of kids shows. You can be the villain. Good for you.
Nice.
In fact, I was actually doing Singing in the Rain, the musical Singing in the Rain, when the pandemic happened. We done our opening night. We came backstage from opening night. And they're like, hey, that was a great show. Unfortunately, there will not be any other shows for the foreseeable future.
Oh, wow.
Here is your check. We love you very much. Please go home. And so, no, moving up here, I work for Door County Trolley, and then I also run the club up here, Firehouse Comedy Club. So I've been able to get back into stand-up, which is something that I had to, you know, had to take a back seat while we got settled up here. And it's been going surprisingly well. Things have been really, really positive. I'm meeting a lot of great people and getting back up on stage, which is, you know, I'm sure you performed. It's one of the best feelings in the world to go up there and convince people to love you enough that, you know, you feel good about yourself.
At least for a little while. Absolutely.
At least for a little while.
The Punchline was a great room too in Atlanta. I remember working there and it was, I don't know if that's still around, but that was a phenomenal room. My guest, by the way, is Asher Brooks. He has a comedy club in Sturgeon Bay called the Firehouse Comedy Club.
Yes, sir.
And so, Asher, what made you say, I want to start a comedy club? That's kind of a tough, especially in an area like Sturgeon Bay where there's not a ton of people. Do you do it every night, every weekend, or what's the schedule?
So right now what we're doing is monthly showcases. So the Wisconsin comedy scene, as I'm sure you know, is getting bigger and bigger. We got a lot of places that you can go and perform. When I first started doing comedy, again, when I first wanted to get back into it, I had to drive an hour and a half, almost 2 hours to get to Skyline Comedy Club, which is in Appleton.
Yeah.
And that was not great because you can go up, you can perform for like 4 minutes. And while it's great to get to perform, I didn't want to drive an hour and a half to perform for 4 minutes. And so I started reaching out to some of the local places and saying, hey, do you guys want to do some shows? And I finally met a really great sponsor who is Door County Fire Company, which is where the name kind of comes from. So we partnered together. They have a fantastic room on the top floor of their building that we've been able to turn into our club. And so we're using it once a month to do these shows. We've got a great show coming up. It'll be John Freitag, Stephanie Ann, and then myself performing on March 26th. So just this Tuesday coming up.
How can people get tickets?
You can go to Door County Tickets, which is kind of an exclusive ticketing site through Door County Tickets, which is exclusive to our area. Sturgeon Bay, by the way, is in the Door County Peninsula.
Okay.
We're right there in the knuckle.
Yeah.
The knuckle of the thumb.
Okay.
But you can also, you know, you can buy tickets at the door, of course, but if you go to Firehouse Comedy Club's Facebook page, or if you go to my Facebook page, you know, Asher Brooks on Facebook, you can find all the links that you need to come see us.
Okay, cool. And now you may have, I don't think you answered this, but is it every weekend or do you space out your shows?
We do it once a month because you're absolutely right. It is a small area. And so what we've done is for the last couple of months, we've been building up people coming up and visiting. We've had some other headliners come up. We had Kristen Lighty come up, who just is about to release her special Disassociation Vacation, I think is about to come out.
Okay.
She's fantastic. We worked with other couple of good comics that have come up and performed. And so we're getting it to do it monthly. That way we don't, you know, oversaturate the area.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to hopefully be able to bring up an open mic as well. That way we can get some more fresh comics, especially from this area who want to perform, to come up and try out some stuff, you know, some shorter form.
You know, let's think about, I love having live performers here in the studio. We've done it several times. The show is fairly new, 3 months. If we can work out something where you can have a comedian, I know there's no studio audience. We'll have to figure that out, but I'm open to it. That's all I'm saying. I'd love to see you keep this thing going. I think it's so great that there's comedy in Door County.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So who are your favorite comics?
Oh gosh. Well, when I was very young, so back when, cause I grew up, I'm 27 now. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
You're
isn't
getting
it
up,
awful?
You're getting up there.
Isn't it terrible? I jumped off the thing the other day, and my knees got upset with me, and I don't know what to do with it.
Asher, hold that thought. I want to find out who your favorite comics are. We'll talk a little bit more about what you have coming up there, and we'll talk to Asher about what he's watching on TV. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings from 7 till 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.